I once had this beautiful vase. I loved it when I bought it. But it broke. And I wonder what I should do with that now. Maybe that should just go as well. Just throw it in the garbage. Oh, I remember a while ago I had this beautiful sweater. I wore it all the time. Just got out of shape because I wore it too many times. Arms are too long, body's too short. Really should just get rid of it. I love music. I remember my first guitar. Played that thing so many times, but I wore that thing out. Now it's all dirty and scratched up, and what am I going to do with that? I should just get rid of it. You know, a lot of people have said a lot of hurtful things to me through the years. Very hurtful things. Things that hurt down deep inside. Told me I was fat or ugly, slow, not as smart as anybody else. Remember one time I was ganged up on by some guys at school, and they pushed me, shoved me, punched me while I was in the corner. Am I really any use? Maybe I deserved all those things that people said about me. Maybe I deserved all the things that people did to me. I've been born with a physical, mental challenge. I just wonder to myself at times, am I any use to anybody? Will I ever be any good? I just wonder, should I just end it all? Hi, my name's Ian. I don't have all those things hanging around my house, all those broken things. I don't have a lot of physical hurts that I mentioned, but the reason I mentioned them in the first place is because I think we all live in a very broken world. And the way that we often want to deal with the issues in our life is like the old sweater and like the old iPod, when it just gets out of date and we just toss it aside. You know, as we're gathered here for Resound tonight, I want to remind you of a perspective. And for others, it might be the first time you're hearing about this, but I want to give you a biblical perspective, a God perspective with regards to how He sees what I've just talked about. I want to draw your attention to some verses tonight that really inspired us to do this evening. They're in the Gospel of Matthew, and they're going to come up on the screen for you. They're verses chapter 12, verses 18 through 21. Let me read these verses for you. "Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved with whom my soul is well pleased." These verses are telling us about Jesus. And I love what it says right afterwards. It says, "He will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench. And in his name the Gentiles will hope." Do you see the picture that is being portrayed in these verses for us? That's the biblical perspective of how God looks at us. God is not a quarreler. He's not trying to force his way through. He's not trying to win you in some kind of argument. He's not trying to be the loudest person in the room to shout out, shout down other people. He's not a quarreler, and you barely hear his voice. He's not like other men. When he comes across a bruised reed, he doesn't break it. He doesn't just toss it aside as useless. When he sees a light, a little light that's flickering and barely able to stay lit, he doesn't just come along and snuff it out. That's not who our God is. We are told in those verses that there is hope in him. And you might want to ask yourself, why? Why is there hope with Jesus? And maybe no one's ever told you this before, but it's true nevertheless. He sees the value in each and every person that he has made. And what he is doing is he is working to restore each one of us. He will never, ever give up on you. Many of us are bruised. We're bruised because of sin. We're bruised because of the dark things. And sometimes, let's be honest, some pretty evil things that we do or we think. We're bruised because of the hurtful and often evil things that others have done to us. We're bruised. But the Bible's message is that God loves to restore what is damaged. Amen?
Amen.
God loves to restore what is damaged. God doesn't break the bruised reed and toss it aside. God doesn't snuff out the flickering light. God works to restore every one of us to the way that he has made us. I want to share with you another verse from Psalm 145. It goes this way. It's a simple verse, but I want you to pay attention. It says, "The Lord upholds all who are falling." Have you had one of those experiences where you've been falling? Things are just not going your way. You just feel like things are against you. It's good to know the Lord is upholding us during those times. And it continues and said, "And he raises up all who are bowed down." You know, my family has just gone through a very difficult a period of about 8 months. And during those 8 months, we were taking care of my mother as she was getting through battling through with cancer. And I'm not going to lie to you that those were 8 very difficult months. Difficult from the standpoint of seeing your mother, who has been such a strong person in your life, seeing your mother just wasting away, not being able to do the things she could do before. In the end, she was unable to even walk 10 feet from her bedroom to the bathroom. I had to pick her up. She was basically skin and bones. Place her on the toilet and let her do what she needed to do and then go back in again, pick her up, take her back to her bed. Through that whole thing, I can tell you honestly, the Lord upheld me as I was falling. I'm not silly to ever think that it was because of some strength that I possess that other people don't. I know how many people were praying for me. I know how many people were upholding us in prayer. And this verse for me is so true. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. A couple of other verses for you. Very encouraging verses. These are verses that talk about when Jesus came to this earth. And it didn't end with him just coming to this earth. This continues today. These are from Luke chapter 4, verse 18. And this is the Lord himself speaking something that was written in the Old Testament. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim good news to the poor." The poor are not out of God's plan. They're not disqualified in any way. They're very much a part of what God is doing. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. Anybody who's bound up by anything, enslaved by anything, God is interested in you, and God is not tossing you aside and turning his back and saying, "You'll have to make it on your own." And he proclaims recovery of sight to the blind. And he sets at liberty those who are oppressed. Let me come back to the bruised reed for a moment. You know, it's interesting when those verses were, you know, when they were put into the Bible, it was not an uncommon thing for men out in their fields, shepherds, men who would spend many nights in the field, they would take a reed and they would shape it into a beautiful flute, something they could press up against their mouth and play music as they were out underneath the stars. But you and I know that over time, what happens to anything that's used frequently, it's going to be damaged somehow. And that's exactly what would happen with these flutes. They would be pressed on with the shepherd's fingers and the saliva from the shepherd's mouth, those two things combined, and that reed would be quite bruised, softened by the pressure, softened by the saliva. And instead of playing beautiful music, all it would do now is just squeak and squawk. And it would not, of course, be uncommon for that shepherd to just toss that reed aside. Go get another reed. Let's start all over again. But God is not like the fieldsman. He is tender, he is compassionate, and he's loving. He knows that the pressures and abuses of this life are bruising and reshaping you and me. And he's not going to just toss you and me aside. He works to restore us so we can play for him again. God loves to mend broken lives. I want to tell you a story about a young girl. In the 1800s, she was born in the United States of America. She was born like every other little girl. Sorry, I'm looking at my granddaughter. She was born like any other little girl. Healthy, vibrant, full of hope. And unfortunately, what happened with her name is Fanny Jane Crosby. What happened with her is she got an eye infection. Doctor came over, treated the eye infection, but he treated it improperly. Instead of the infection being drawn away from her eyes, the infection was pushed towards her eyes, and for the rest of her life, Fanny Jane Crosby was blind. And she was on quite a journey, even from childhood up into her young adult years. And she would always wonder, what about now? What am I going to do now? I don't have eyes. What can I possibly do? Well, God had gifted her to be an amazing poet. And Fanny Jane Crosby wrote over 8,000 hymns in her lifetime. 8,000. There's one of those hymns that I want to draw your attention to tonight. It's going to come up on the screen for you. It's from a hymn called Rescue the Perishing. And I feel like this particular stanza captures our thought tonight that God wants to restore. Look what it says. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, cords that were broken, cords that were broken will vibrate once more. Why? Because God has done something. Amen. What a God we have. He is not in the business of tossing things away. He knows the condition that you and I are in here tonight. He isn't expecting you to try to restore yourself. But God is doing this. He's asking you one simple question. Will you let me, God, restore you? How will you answer that question tonight? Maybe you've been hurt so much in your life. Might even be recently you've been hurt. And I wouldn't blame you if your hands were firmly placed in front of your heart to protect from getting more hurt. I totally understand that. But you got to know this. God is not like men and women who have hurt you with the things that they've said and the things that they have done. God really and truly wants to heal your heart from all its damage. God wants your heart's chords to sing once more as they were originally designed. Take a look at this rose. You might ask yourself, who would want that rose? It's wilted. It's tired looking. It's lost most of its color and vibrancy. But I would tell you this, God wants that rose. God wants that rose. I'm going to leave you with some verses from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29, talking about how God loves to restore. Look at these verses. He says, come to me. This is Jesus speaking to people who were so tired, so worn out by trying to restore themselves. He says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Would you give Jesus permission right now to come to begin to restore your heart? You might say, Ian, I've been a Christian for a long, long time. I've gone through this already. I've been a Christian for a long time too. And there are just times when I'm beaten down and I just need Jesus to restore my heart. You might say, Ian, I don't even know who this God is and this Jesus is. And I'm getting to kind of hear a little bit about him tonight. And that's okay. I was in your seat about 30 some years ago. No matter where you are tonight, I'm just going to leave you with this prayer. If you want this to happen tonight, for God to begin to restore your heart, I'm going to invite you to pray along with me right now. You don't have to say these words out loud. You can pray them in your heart. God is well capable of hearing the things that are going on in your heart. Oh, God, I'm hurt, I'm damaged, and I need help. I've heard what was spoken here tonight, and I want you to restore me. Thank you that you have not given up on me. Thank you that you don't toss broken and bruised people away and only care about the very best kind of people. I'm coming to you right now. I'm giving you permission to help me right now. Jesus, I want to be restored, to be the person you designed me to be. And Jesus, I want to live the life that you want me to live with you and through you. Amen.